So I'm going to invite Maureen to come up, and she's going to read today's Bible passage, which is taken from Nehemiah 4, Nehemiah chapter 4.
Saga continued. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and very incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up onto it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for the people worked with a heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble. We cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who live near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the men who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we're widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us here. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, with half of the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time also, I said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and workers by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men, nor the guards who took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. Amen.
Thank you, Maureen. That was brilliant. We want to just say that Jay's sermon is on the 13th of Feb. So you should be able to find it on YouTube, I believe. And you can watch yours for yourself and hear his amazing story. So we're doing Nehemiah again, okay? And this time we're in chapter 4. Last week we're in chapter 2. And you may think, what happened to chapter 3? Why haven't you done chapter 3? And the reason being is it is just a long list of names and people who built different parts of the wall. Okay, so we could read it to you, but it wouldn't be terribly interesting because we're moving on to chapter 4. Stuart did a brilliant job on chapter 2 last week, so we're now picking up chapter 4. Now, you'll see that today we're talking about rebuilding overcomes opposition. And we're just going to, just to get you to think, really, what are the areas in your life that you're struggling with? What are those areas you kind of feel, actually, this is not going so well? The Bible says that we face, there are three areas that we will struggle in. The first is against the world. The world has kind of a different kind of way of thinking about things. It is not a biblical way of thinking. And so there is opposition from the world. When Christians stand up for something, very often the world would oppose it or the other way around. And so we do face struggles when it comes to worldly thinking. The second area we struggle is we struggle with our flesh, because the Bible says that we are born again, hallelujah, but actually we do struggle with some of those desires that we have which are not of God, which would lead us into sin. So we struggle against the world, we struggle against flesh, but we also struggle against the devil. Yeah. Because the devil is our enemy, and he wants to bring down the church. So we find that in our lives, we will struggle perhaps in those three ways. Yeah. And so today, what I want to do, I'm going to nick Ashley's drink. You haven't drunk from this, have you?
No, not yet.
Not yet. You're not going to now. Excuse me. So we struggle in those areas. So today, what I want to do is talk, hopefully, and bring some encouragement from Nehemiah chapter 4 about how we can come against the opposition and the areas that we struggle in. Something to encourage you today. Amen? Because you thought being a Christian was all lovely, didn't you? Nice and easy. He came to Jesus, he was like, yeah, everything's going to be great. Well, it's not, is it? Because Jesus actually said, in this trouble, in this world, you will have trouble. Yeah. And maybe for some of us, as I'm speaking, you go, yep, having trouble. And so I hope today, as we look at Nehemiah chapter 4, we will pick up something that is encouraging to each of us. Yeah. Okay, so we need to do a bit of history. Who likes history? Only 10 of you? Never mind. So chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, what happens is we see that there is opposition rising against Nehemiah and building the walls. A guy called Sanballat, a guy called Tobiah, and a guy called Geshem all start to cause trouble. And at the beginning of chapter 4, we see that continues. And yet, it's actually ramped up. Okay, so let's just have a... Can I have the next slide then, please, Dave? Oh, there's the walls. Okay, that's a picture of Jerusalem, and you'll see there are loads of gates, okay? And they go all the way around the city, and the idea was that the walls would be built up between the gates, okay? That was the plan, and that's what chapter 3 is all about, is about all the different gates, okay? Go home, read it for yourself, okay? Now, chapter 4, we move into opposition. Next one, please. Oh, here we go. It's on the blink, isn't it? Okay, we'll come back in a minute. So there were four people. No, there were no. Oh, it's back. Okay, so we have a guy called Sanballat. He was a Horonite. That's what it says. And he was from Samaria. He was kind of the ruler of Samaria. And he was from the north. Okay? No. Okay. Every time. Okay, so if you're online, the screen just keeps going off. Okay, and there was a guy called Tobiah who was an Ammonite, and then there was Geshem and the Arabs, and then there was men of Ashdod. These are the people who were against Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. As you can see, north, east, south and west. So from every side, there was opposition. There was opposition because they didn't want him to rebuild the walls because it would strengthen Jerusalem, make it a fortress. And they were worried that, you know, from that, then the Jews would kind of start to push out and maybe take some of these areas as they had done before. Okay, the other thing that they really didn't like was the fact that actually from Jerusalem, probably Sanballat was getting an income. He was probably taxing those people because they would come under Samaria. So actually, he was losing money. So that's why he was really, really angry. And that's what chapter 4 in the beginning says, that he was really angry. And we can see how Nehemiah responds. Okay, and I want to say, we're going to do four things today. Bonus. You normally only get three. So we're going to do four things that actually... That Nehemiah did. Just before we do that, next slide, please. Just need to tell you, there were three things that the enemy were doing. The first thing was they were ridiculing the work on the walls. They were saying, basically, you guys, you're rubbish. You're rubbish at what you're doing. And it's probably true that the people who were building the walls weren't actually builders. They were just people who were told, get on and, you know, put this stone. And it's a bit like church day. You know, the church kind of maintenance day and me turning up. Okay, yeah, you know, not a builder, not able to do much, but, you know, put in and, you know, get on and build this will. And, you know, it wasn't great, but they were kind of builders. They weren't builders, they weren't experts, but they were, you know, they were just going for it. And the other thing is you'll see that Tobiah says, even if a fox walked on your wall, it would fall down. So they were, you know, probably happened if I built a wall, but basically they were ridiculed by the enemy. The second thing was that they did plan to attack. They were getting ready, and we'll see that a bit later when I'm talking, they were actually planning to attack Jerusalem. And then the third thing they did, they spread fear. They just said, we're coming. You need to be afraid because we're going to kill all of you. And so there was fear. They were being ridiculed. So the people of Israel... were really not in a great place. They were rebuilding the wall, but there was opposition. And maybe today, as you kind of think about your life, there maybe you feel, actually, yeah, I can see some of this. I can see there is opposition. And maybe there is that sense of fear about the unknown future. Maybe that's that sense that, you know, what is going to happen? So let's talk about what Nehemiah did. Because I said he did... four things. Before I tell you those four things, what I need to tell you is that actually Nehemiah was convinced of the fact that he was going to be successful. He had no doubts that he was going to be able to build the wall because God had told him to go and do it. And that's really important to know, that he had no doubts about what was going to happen. So, four things that he did, if I can find it in my notes. The first thing was that he prayed. Okay? So let's just pick up what it says in verse 4. He says, hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we see that first section of prayer. He basically, it's not a very nice prayer, is it? Okay, it's not like a Jesus prayer, is it? Like, Jesus, forgive them. Jesus, love them. Jesus, save them. He's basically saying, these people, they need to be taken to captivity. They, you know, they need to be, their land needs to be plundered. And basically, God, do not forgive their sins. Don't blot out their sins. Punish them. You could even say, send them to hell. Oh, that's an interesting prayer. I don't know how many of us pray those kind of prayers. We probably don't, which is probably a good thing. Okay? But you see, he was so passionate about prayer. He was so passionate about the job he was doing, and that these people had come along to mess it up. And so he got really strong when it came to praying. There was a passion about his prayers. And so when we face trouble, do we pray in that kind of way? Are we moved by the things that are happening around us? Do we grapple with God when it comes to prayer? In verse 9, we also see, he says, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Yeah. And as I said, and Stuart I think said also, prayer is a common theme in Nehemiah. Every time trouble came, he prayed. And there's a great lesson for all of us that actually we have a God of angel armies. Did you like that song? Yeah. It's a great song, isn't it? Because that's one of the phrases we find in the Old Testament, the God of angel armies. I was listening to someone talking about this, and the stuff online, this guy had been reading the Bible. He'd read the Bible through every year for the last 43 years. Okay? I'm looking around. Maybe you've done that. Okay. 43 years. But he said what had changed, or what he noticed this particular year, was that he'd found a phrase that he'd never really seen before. And the phrase was the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. And the Lord of angelic armies. And this, you know, this is the kind of God that Nehemiah's talking about. He is saying, you know, actually, we have got a God who is awesome, a God who is powerful. We can look to him because he can do more than we can ask or imagine. And I think that's a really important lesson for us. As we face discouragement, let's remind ourselves that we have a God who is the God of angel armies, amen, who is able to bring about change in your life and those around you, in the lives of those perhaps who are opposing you or confronting you or making your life difficult. Mm. The second thing we can say about Nehemiah and Nehemiah and the people's response was priorities. What they did was made two things a priority. The first thing that was a priority was to build. And the second thing that was a priority was to fight. And you'll see that they basically got on and built the wall. Yeah. But also, they wanted to protect the city. Verse 16, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officials posted themselves behind all the people of Jerusalem who were building the wall. So the men got on with the work, but at the same time, they were armed and they were equipped. Charles Spurgeon, he used to have a publication, great preacher from the 18th century. He had a publication of his sermons and he called it the sword and the trowel, because he took it from this picture. Yeah. That actually, as Christians, we have to work, but also we need to be on our guard. And we need to prepare to take on the enemy. So they built the walls, but as you can see, they also protected the city. Yeah. What do you need to protect? What are you watching over? What are you trying to keep safe? They had a deep commitment to God. And that meant they were willing to work and to fight. I'm going to move on to my third point, which is, there we go, the promises. Now you might think, well, I don't see the promises of God in this section. But what you do see is you see a man of God who speaks up. So Nehemiah says in verse 14, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. So he's talking to everybody. He says, don't be afraid of them. This is the enemies. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and daughters, your wives and your homes. And then in verse 19, we have another speech from Nehemiah. Then I said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, same kind of thing. The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Remember the Lord. What a brilliant phrase. Because when we go through difficulties, when we go through troubles, so often we forget. We can forget God. And we think to ourselves, well, how am I going to work this out? How am I going to come through? How is this going to change? And so what Nehemiah did was a brilliant thing, great leader. He gave the people a vision of who God is. He says, God is greater than this. God is greater than our enemies. You can trust him. You can stand strong because we have a God who is able. I was reading from Romans where it says, what should we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I think that's a promise maybe for people here today. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is able to help and bring about resolutions to even the hardest situations. And the people needed to be reminded of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe today, that's the word for you. God is saying, don't give up. Because I am for you. And I am the God, the Lord of hosts. You know, it's important that we do getting to the promises of God found in the Word of God. There was a survey done by a Bible publisher, and it said that 90% of regular Bible readers felt at peace all of the time. 58% of people who didn't read the Bible on a regular basis felt peace all of the time. When we get into the Word of God, we hear the voice of God. It is the Word of God that will speak to us. It is how we hear from God, also through the Holy Spirit. But I want to say to you this morning, the promises of God are there and they have not changed. They are for you as God is for you. And so when you struggle, when you face trouble, just remind yourself of the Word of God. The last thing I want to say is the word persistence. You'll see that we go right to the end of the chapter where it says we continued the work with half the men holding spears. And it goes on. And in verse 23, it says this. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. And so the guys did not stop working every day out there, building the wall with their spears, ready to fight an enemy. I love that kind of picture. They must have stank, mustn't they? Oh, they must have been awful. Grubby, dirty, smelly men. But you see, the picture is of people who didn't give up. Yeah. If you read chapter 4, you'll see they're halfway there. Halfway. I think it's like verse 9. It says, we built half the height of the wall. Okay? I read somewhere when they were excavating the wall of Nehemiah around Jerusalem, they found that actually at some point it was 9 feet thick. That's a big wall, isn't it? Yeah, a big wall. So they worked hard and they got to halfway. And often that's a very dangerous place to be, isn't it? Halfway there. Because you think, well, we could go back. We could stop. But you see, they didn't give up. And for me, I think that's a really important thing. And maybe today for some of you, you perhaps feel like, I want to give this up. I don't want to be part of this church. I don't want to keep coming to church. I don't want to worship. I don't want this. I don't want to read my Bible. And your faith is maybe on the edge. And I just want to say to you, don't give up. These people gave themselves fully to the work of God. And I think God is saying, maybe today, God is saying to you, don't give up. Keep going. What I loved about the Nehemiah thing was there were people who were builders. There was people who were the officials. That sounded like a really easy job, actually. So you had all your builders. And then behind, the officials just stood back and watched and looked out for the enemy. That's the kind of job I think I would prefer. But there were the laborers who literally carried stuff around. Had sword in one hand, and then they carried all the other stuff. But there was one guy. He had a great job. He was the trumpet player. Okay. Anybody play trumpet? Used to. Ooh. It's nothing. So to boast that he plays the trumpet is maybe a bit exaggerated. But the trumpet player, the guy who held the trumpet, what a great job. His job was when the enemy came, because they had threatened to come, and they threatened to kill all of them, blow your trumpet. Blow your trumpet. Warn the people. Tell them the enemy are coming. And I feel this passage today for some of us is the trumpet call. The trumpet call to be prepared, to be ready, to fight. Mm-hmm. Maybe the trumpet call to really step up and be the person God wants you to be in the life of the church here. Maybe today God is saying, yes, it's you. Don't give up. Persist in your faith. Persist in the ministry I've called you to fulfill. Persist in that calling that God has upon you. So, Nehemiah, great leader, because he envisioned the people. He started with prayer. And he said, guys, we really do need to pray. And he called the people to prayer. It wasn't just him. When you look at the prayer, he says, Lord, help us. And he talks about we. And it's all about bringing people to that place of prayer. He also then set the priorities that the people would have. And that is to serve and to fight. To serve and to fight. But the promises of God were behind it all. And lastly, they persisted and they kept going. What is God saying to you today through these great verses? The history of Israel. What is God saying to you about your life? And maybe you're in that place which is really hard and you are struggling. Don't give up. Pray. Hold on to the promises of God. And he will bring you through. He will not let you down. Your God will fight for you. Amen.